Open your Bibles, please, this evening to the book of 1 Corinthians 15. This evening we're going to talk about life after death. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, in which you stand, for which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And after that he was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, and some have fallen asleep. And after this he was seen of James, and then by the apostles, and then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. May the Lord add acceptable blessings to the reading of the good word of the Lord, our message, life after death. The light at the end of the tunnel. Oftentimes we look for it because we're in tunnel. Some of us kids used to play out of the road. They had these big old pipes that they had out of the road. We used to like get down and run through them and just have a blast. And we'd do it just to see how fast we could run from one end to the other end. And it was a race sometimes. I remember one we got in one time, it looked a little scary because over the other end of it, the honeysuckles would grow down, you know, and they'd grow down where there wasn't a light at the other end of the tunnel. It looked rather dark and spooky looking. And all them boys used to tell me, "They may be a snake in there, Jimmy." I said, "Well, he's going to have to be the fastest snake that God ever created, because I'm going to walk on water and pass him up as I go out the other end of the tunnel." Here, one of the things that we look at a lot of times is the day when life will end. It's not a pleasant thought. Each time I walk out on my porch each morning, I talk to the Lord a little bit before I go in and get breakfast and start things out for the day. And one thing I always thank him for is, "Lord, it's just such a beautiful day. I'm glad you let me come to be a part of it. And it's my prayer, Lord, that all the people I love and that love me will have this day as a gracious blessing from you." We are a body of people that believe beyond any doubt whatsoever that we know the truth about dying. I've been in several places with several people, and as they were dying, it was an experience. In fact, one lady requested my presence there. She told me that she wanted me to be with her the moment that she died. And I promised it with all that I could promise that I'd be there with her. And one of the things that she said to me when we were talking about it, she'd say, "You know," she said, "I'm going to close my eyes," and she said, "I hope the Lord grants me this privilege that when we stand up in the day of the Lord, I get to see you first." I told her maybe that would be the Lord's good pleasure. After body experiences, death, they call it life after death. Not life after death, but light after death. Now many of us, we've never been in that tunnel of death when darkness comes all around and everything is there. I cannot even fathom that. I don't even know what it would look like if it was possible to see it. All I know is that God spoke to Abraham of a great horror of darkness that he would go through before he received the promises of God and the promises that God made to him. I read a quite lengthy little presentation in one of the magazines just recently of people that have afterlife or after death experiences. They actually see things. In fact, one man described his as this. While the doctors are working fervently to keep him from dying, and he's dying, and he's already died twice, according to the facts that they stated by the medical doctors, he had already died twice, and they brought him back for the third time. He is saying that he is up here watching the doctors as they resuscitate him through every one of these death moment or death times of dying. Now, somebody said, can you dispute somebody's word like that? They've had an out-of-the-body experience. Now, I've never been out of my body, so I don't know what an out-of-the-body experience is. I've not traveled out of this little body at all. Not at one moment in my life have I ever traveled out of this body. Now, one friend of mine told me, he says, when you die, you'll travel out of this body. I said, but the Bible don't say a thing about me making any plans for travel after I die. I said, the Bible said that the dead know not anything. The living know they shall die. I don't know how many times I read this to him. I said, the living know they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And he looked at me. He says, no, you'll know more than you ever knew before. I said, that's not what the Bible said. And the Bible also says the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. We continue to have this argument. But the thing about it is, as I listened to this, and I heard Wanda say something, that she had an experience when she had her heart thing, and somebody asked her if she saw a light. She has witnessed to me, I think, about the third or the fourth time when we've talked, that there was nothing happened. It was just like it was a big envelope of darkness, wasn't it, Wanda? All this. All gone. Now, the thing about it is, there is life after death, but there's not light right after you die. If you notice the title of the sermon, it was Light After Death, not Life After Death. Now, Paul recites to you about all the things that he believes about Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. He gives all this to you, and then he says after this, he said, all these people have seen the Lord. And then he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen by James, then by the apostles, and then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. Now the only thing that we can take is the Word of God. We cannot take anybody's word, no matter what they tell you, that they've had these out-of-body experiences. There's nothing happens after death. It is subtly presented throughout the whole Bible that, what? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like what? And what? And he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Now, isn't that so simple? It's so simple. Why won't people understand something so simple? Someone says, how do you make people understand this? How do you make them realize that there's nothing happening in death? I had one other gentleman tell me, because that I didn't believe in the triunity of God, because I didn't confess that Jesus was God in the flesh, that I was going to have my part in a never-ending hell. He says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Yeah. I said, the Bible says I'm going to hell when I die. He looked at me right funny. He said, you mean you already learned that you're going to go to hell when you die? I said, the Bible says that the word hell in the Greek means the grave. He said, I knew you'd twist that no matter how I in the world. I knew you'd twist that just as sure as I'm standing here. I knew you was going to twist that. I said, no, the Bible is not twisted. The Bible says that other people wrest the scriptures to their own damnation. In other words, it's you that's twisting this stuff and trying to make it fit into the Word of God. I said, now go back to your preacher and ask him to explain some verses for you. I gave him all the verses concerning hell and the grave, and about giving him Malachi 4, and then I gave him Psalms 37, and we recited all this stuff and sat on rolls of cloth at Broad Hills and talked and carried on. And I said, you go home and you read this, and then I said, take it to your pastor and let him explain it to you. We got back together again and sat down on our old roll of cloth and sitting there talking, and he said, you know something? After reading all the verses you gave me, I don't believe there's a hell either. I said, did you tell your preacher? He said, not yet. You know, the Word of God is very convincing when you take a look at it from what the Bible says. When you really believe exactly what Donald was singing a while ago, that you go down into the grave, you cease to exist, you turn back to what? Dust again? Dust thou art unto what? Thus shalt thou return. When you turn to dust, and then suddenly John's is singing, he said, out of the dust, and where are you going from there? Into the clouds. Why is it so hard to believe that the only time that you're going to see or know anything is when you are raised from the dead? Why is that so hard? It's because the enemy has made people to believe that they know more after death than they knew when they were alive. He said, what? What was his plan in the garden? His plan was deception. His plan was to get them away from God's word of truth. And he told them, he said, don't you know in the day that thou eatest thereof, you're going to be like gods to know good and evil? Well, he told the truth that. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what?
Not surely die.
Not surely die. Now, why is that so hard to believe? The majority of the world is believing exactly, thou shalt not surely die. I read a nice church sign. It says, heaven or hell, you make the choice. I've already made a choice, and I'm not planning on going to heaven, and I have no plans for Gehenna fire. I do know this much, that I have bought me a place out there in that Woodlawn place, and I know that, in fact, I went back and changed mine. I didn't like where mine was at. It was way over there, away from everybody and away from the road, and you know how I like to sit and watch stuff. Not that I'm going to be watching it when I get there. But I got me a place right up next to the road, so if just in case, no, I won't be doing anything but laying there. Lay says, why do you want to move? I said, well, that over there is a way out there, and there's nobody out there, and I like to be where people are. I said, I'm a people person, but I won't even know the people are there. Because the Bible says in the book of Job, his sons and people come to honor him, and he perceived it not. He don't even know they're there. He cannot figure out anything because he is where? In the grave. He said, hide me in the grave and keep me secret until thy indignation be overpast, and set me what? A set time, and do what for me? And remember me. Isn't that amazing? It is so comforting to know the truth. Really, I don't want to know anything when I'm dead. Because I feel like when I die, I don't want to know what they're doing. Think about how miserable that'd be to sit there and watch everybody go crazy, you know. While you're up there doing
heavenly things, you're standing there watching everybody down here go nutsy. And you can't do nothing about it. That would be more miserable than anything I know of, is to be standing up there and watching everything go all crazy. I'm glad that's not true. Because I know for a fact that people, after you have spoke to them and comforted their hearts and told them the truth about what? About the grave. About dying. Saw a raccoon smeared all over the road. And every time I see a little animal just flattened out, there's a scripture comes back to me from Ecclesiastes. What? Man has no preeminence above a beast. As one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they all have what? One breath. And they all go to what? One place. I'm glad I'm not out there with that poor little old raccoon. I don't want to be smashed all over the road and made into one of those, what he calls that stuff? Roadkill. He's got some kind of the roadkill breakfast he has every once in a while at his church. I told him, I said, don't plan on me coming, because if it's dead and it's been out there and flattened out and dried, I do not care for it. I said, I don't believe I could chew past the dirt, the gravel, and the hair. But the thing about it is that each one of us are searching to know what God's Word has to say. And somebody said, well, we already know. I think the truth of this thing needs to be revealed to everyone. People need to hear and understand what the Bible says and do it in the nicest of ways. Now, when Paul does this discourse in 15th of Corinthians, he's saying this stuff not only to people that believe and by the people that don't believe. You know, a lot of people that he was talking to did not believe that Jesus had raised up from the dead. They didn't believe that. The thing about it is, what happened was here, he said, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a bunch of witnesses. You know, I was in a courtroom one time, and this very dignified lawyer was calling witnesses to the stand of this man that was supposedly not guilty. Paul is calling all these people to the witness stand. He said, I want to make a statement concerning that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and all this. Then he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. How would you feel if somebody that you knew suddenly came back to life and was in the room with you? Would that make you feel kind of strange? To see somebody that had been dead and then suddenly they're raised up and they are just alive. They had just witnessed him being beat almost beyond life. They had witnessed him being all these terrible things done to him. They had then witnessed him being hung on a tree. They had then stood there and watched him die and breathe his life. And now, where is he? He's being seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He's being seen by the men on the road to Emmaus. He's seen by them. He sits down and eats with them. And then he's seen of the apostles as they all gather together and they're all there in this place. And suddenly, where is the Lord? He appears and the door don't even open. Now that would be a spooker for me. To be standing there and suddenly a door flies. Door don't move. Nothing don't happen. It's just so quiet. And then suddenly he's standing right there. And I didn't have this figured out for a long time because I kept wondering how that he came in without opening the door. But the Bible says over there, Jesus is speaking about those that are born of flesh and those that are born of the Spirit. He says, those that are born of the Spirit can come and go as the wind. Can you imagine what Paul saw when he saw Jesus in the way? I've tried to put that in my little noggin and remember, and just for my own consolation, figure out what Paul saw on the road to Damascus. He saw a great light in the way, but what was in the great light? It was Jesus. And his testimony is, I saw him as one born out of due time. I saw him. Now this is the man that was throwing so many bad things at Jesus. This was a man who was totally oblivious of Jesus being raised from the dead, that suddenly he sees Jesus. I think that would really spook him out. But then there's something happened to Paul. He recognized who he was when these words come out of his lips. Lord, what will you have me do? Are we afraid of the dead? I'm not afraid of dead. I'm not really too afraid of dying. I don't want to die. Every once in a while I get these little funny tickly feelings in my heart, and you know, I think, is that a message to tell me that I need to be living a little bit better and doing a little bit more for the Lord? Or is it just one of those little sneaking warnings that's telling me that I might ought to have that checked out? Well, I've had it checked out. Becky says, go get your Rolaid. That's her remedy for any pain, you know, Rolaid. And I tell her, go get her ibuprofen. That's my remedy for her pains, is her ibuprofen. But the thing about it is that we are standing so much in the shadow of something so powerful. And the Bible here, and I was interested. I bought me a new Bible, and I hadn't really looked at it too much. I've been studying a little bit, but the old one I've got tore 5 ways from Sunday, and I study in it more than I do anything else. But I just happened to begin to start looking and reading in this one. It's got a real good reference thing in it. And I was just looking at this, and he said, Job said something in Job 10:9. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as clay, and wilt thou bring me unto the dust again. Thou hast made me in clay. Do you know this is dirt? I wash on it real good to keep the dirt from getting too black on it. And I think if people would probably look at my situation, I wash quite often, even though I often get very black and dirty. And one of the things that really bothers me, I used to work with some guys that work in, and their hands were black. And they'd eat with their hands black. And I told them one day when they sat down and put all their sandwiches out to eat, I said, boys, let me bless this because I'm afraid you're going to get poisoned with them black hands. The thing about it is that you and I are seriously the only people, I think, that really believe in the resurrection from the dead with seriousness about it. We don't believe in the light after death. There's no light at the end of our tunnel. Because the day your eyes close in death, I read that about David. And the Bible said David died and he slept with his fathers and was buried in Jerusalem. You know, that's really not hard at all to believe, is that people just sleep and they don't know anything. I don't want to know anything. I think being totally oblivious of everything is the right thing that God has done in death. But a lot of people think that they have got to have some kind of something about death, life after death. They want to see and know. I don't think I want to know anything. He said, the dead know not anything. I'm happy with that. The living know they shall die. And an appointment I'm going to make, I can't get away from it. There's no way I'm going to be outrun the undertaker. I can tell you right now, I'll never outrun the old boy. Mr. Greer over here, one of the men that my dad used to work for a lot, he says, he's over there talking one day, and he said, you know, he says, I'm the person that will let you down for the last time and just smile. You know, he'd say all this stuff. He'd be sitting on the porch with him He'd fix you a bologna sandwich and give you a Coke, and he'd sit there and say all this stuff. And it would get kind of like, what are you saying this for? He would unnerve people. He used to have two black men that worked for him, and he would unnerve them poor old boys right out of their brain. In fact, one time he did this as a joke to these poor old men. He actually done a thing of sounding like he was the gentleman in the coffin while these two fellows were sitting in the room with him. And he began to said their names and said something to them. Mr. Greer Telton just died laughing. He said, that one looked over and says, Homer, did you hear him? Yep. Says, what did he say? Well, he said your name. Oh, he don't know me. He don't know me at all. A few minutes later, he made the dead man say the other man's name. He says, I told you he knew you better than he did me. The thing about it is that you and I as a church today, we have a message that's rocking the world. We have something though that people just look at and they say, what? This message of the Bible, what does it say? Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, all go into one place, all of the dust, all turn to dust again. And that reference to that runs over to Corinthians 15th chapter, 53rd verse. Turn with me there to 15th chapter and the 53rd verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. I've heard this for ever so long, what the Bible says, and you and I as a church today ought to be putting it in every place we can. I remember when we'd take tracts and stick them in every place. Everywhere we'd go, we'd have a handful of tracts. And I can remember doing this one time. We went down to do deliver tracts down towards Granite Falls or something. And there used to be a church down there called the Rock Church of God or some kind of church there. He had a crack in the door of his church. And he didn't evidently take time to fix it, but I fixed it for him. I poked all the little tracks I could get through that hole in that church. I bet you somebody really got a handful of them things when they opened that door on that Sunday morning or whenever they opened their church door. I think we need to be getting it out to the people that really need to know. Somebody said, well, we got it on radio. Well, I don't think people listen to radio as much as they listen to us. I think they need to hear us and what we have to say. And there's enough material that we have. Anthony Buzzard wrote a real, real good thing. I think I've got one at the house, but I gave away a bunch of them because he wrote one on death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that thing stands out to me as something that just echoes what we believe and what we stand up for. We as a church today have this awesome obligation of telling people there is no life after death. There's only what? The resurrection to life after death. Let them know what you know in your heart. Let them know that you believe the Word of God and that you believe that you are going to sleep quietly and not know anything. One of the things that my dad was saying one time when we were sitting with him just maybe days before he passed away, he said, I'm glad the only thing that I will hear when these eyes close is the trumpet sound. He said, that's the only thing that will wake me up in the day when Jesus comes again. I was so thrilled to hear that because I've listened to him talk a lot of Bible, but he said, that's the one thing that I will hear will be when the trumpet sounds. And he said, I will hear and I will see Jesus. We believe the truth concerning death. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. When Wanda and I talked, she said, all I saw was just a blackness. You could sense blackness coming in on you. You couldn't see nothing. There's nothing there. In death, there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe he is? Do you believe he has the power to raise the sleeping dead? Do you know he is just about ready to come back to this world and raise the sleeping dead? He's about ready to do that. Won't it be a shock when they all find out they didn't go to heaven? Won't it be an awful shock when they suddenly wake up and come up out of their graves to look around? I must have been here all this time. I must have been laying here in this dirt and in this ground, and I wasn't no worse. I've just been right here in the ground. And we have to deal with those people that need to know the truth concerning the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In death, we won't be hearing voices. Just like that one black man said to the other black man, he called your name. Mr. Greer's all the time playing that funny stuff on them two old boys. The thing about it is, you and I are going to be raised up in the likeness of the Lord at His coming. I want to see Him come. I thank Donald for your song. I really do. I think it says a lot for us. And I think it says a lot for what you believe yourself. Because you couldn't sing it that way unless you believed it that way. If it's not something you know in your heart, you certainly couldn't sing it the way you sing it. I appreciate that very much. Take it with you. Everywhere you go, put it somewhere where somebody will see it. Take it with you to work. Lay it around for people to see. There's enough material. There's some tracts and stuff that we've got. Just lay them around. People read. And the most likely place they used to read them at Broghills was the bathroom. No joshing. I'd just go in the bathroom and every place got one. And one of my friends, who was not of the faith that I was, asked me one day, he says, "You know they only use that stuff in there for toilet paper, don't you?" I said, "Well, they looked at it before they used it for toilet paper." He smiled at me. He said, "Truthfully," he says, "I've read it." So he did get to receive a little bit of the word of the Lord while he was there. Please be mindful to pray for us. We certainly would appreciate your prayers. We ask you to help us lift up the Lord in every way to everyone. Please pray for our families and our church, and pray for God's message of salvation to be brought to the world. I think when this thing is preached to the end of the world, I believe that God's Son Jesus will come back again. And I think of all people, how many things that we could do now that we could not do 20 years ago. I got on YouTube the other day and went through some things, and I got to even see myself on YouTube. And it was right nice. And there are a few hits on mine. I know some of the others had quite a few more than mine did, but there's still some hits on there. I think we've got an avenue there, and I think it's something that we can take to the world and show them. Sometimes all it takes is just one verse of Scripture directed by the hand of God to somebody's heart that will make them believe. Be useful. Be about God's business.